I'm a Magnum photographer. My name's Ian Berry. At the time of Sharpeville in 1960, I was a young photographer in my early 20s, recently arrived in South Africa. On the 21st of March in 1960, I was in fact taking a day off, but went into the office and was directed by the then editor of Drum, Tom Hopkinson, to go to Sharpeville. They'd organised the usual protests, strikes, stay-at-homes, you know, demonstrations around the country, protesting against the pass laws. We were sort of left being the only people there, the only reporters, and it was not a very big crowd. I mean, I suppose 2,000 or 3,000 people, maybe. But it was not at all difficult for me to force my way to the fence and photograph the police inside, you know, standing on their Saracens and so on. So I stuck around for a little while, shot half a roll of film, and then thought, you know, I'd amble back to the car, we'd go and find a telephone and see if there was anything else happening anywhere else. Just before I got back to the car, suddenly the shooting started. I was a bit sort of flummoxed at first. I didn't know quite what was happening. I only had a couple of Leicas with a wide-angle lens and a normal lens around my neck. And so as people were running towards me, I dropped in onto the grass. I thought that was probably the wisest thing to do, and photographed the people running towards me. People started to fall as they were running. There were boys running towards me, holding their coats above their heads as though to protect themselves from bullets. I don't think they were sort of fully aware of what was happening. I could see people dropping all over the place. The shooting paused briefly. I saw the police standing on the Saracens, reloading their stand guns. And so I dropped down again, and the police started to shoot again. This time, they were really just shooting into the backs of people fleeing. Nobody was obviously sticking around. Everyone was running away. Firing went on for a few seconds, and then it stopped, and I could see there were just bodies everywhere. I realised that I was the only person left standing in the field, and it would probably be fairly unwise to stick around. There was a woman next to me lying in the grass. As I moved towards her, a boy came up from behind and turned her over. Her chest had been completely shot away. It was difficult to say how she'd been shot at that in that way, because it must have been some sort of a dum-dum bullet, because, you know, she'd been completely ripped apart back to front. And the boy turned her over in amazement and then took off. And I thought, well, time for me to take off as well. So I rushed back to the car, jumped in, told Humphrey to sort of step on it, because we sort of thought we were going to be sort of grabbed by the police. It was only afterwards I learned that approximately 67 people were actually killed and almost a couple of hundred wounded. As mine were the only photographs taken of the shooting, they of course went worldwide. And this of course subsequently led to my being called at the trial of the wounded who were charged by the police, ironically, with obstruction and so on. You know, as a young photographer in my early 20s, this was a fairly memorable moment for me, because it was actually the first time in my life I'd been shot at or indeed seen people shot. And so, although subsequently, you know, I'd been to many sort of similar situations and wars, this really does stand out in my memory.